Pressure coming on 3rd and 10. Picked up enough to give him time to find George Kittle. Oh, amongst so many bodies, he ripped it away. Touchdown, San Francisco. George Kittle just wanted it more.
That touchdown was insane.
I don't know if he wanted it more. I think he's just 8 inches taller than everybody else. You think those guys didn't want it? I think they wanted it. I just think they're physically, they weren't going to be able to get it.
Yeah.
You can want it a lot.
I think Kittle wanted it.
He wanted it more than the other guys?
Yeah, he might have.
I hate that.
He might have, though.
That's, like, to me, the worst kind of break. Trust me, I'm guilty of a lot of bad breakdown, but when you're like, that guy wanted it more, or he's a significantly better athlete.
He's just better than Jalen Hawkins, who I didn't even know was a football player until,
like,
he was out there this year.
3'5", 9 corners, like, biting at the heels of a 6'6".
Marcus Jones.
Monster tight end. He wanted it more. Yeah. Or he's a giant compared to those guys, and he's one of the best tight ends ever.
That was insane. That was
a sick catch.
That was a series where Purdy just kept throwing touchdown passes. They kept getting taken off the board.
They scored 3 times. So anybody, and I know this is where we're going, but, like, the Patriots defense, we were hoping it was going to be top 10, maybe really wishful thinking, like a top 5 defense. It is not. They scored 3 times on 1 drive, 3 touchdown passes. They kept getting called back. They kept adding more yards to it, and they kept moving it down the field. So they were fine. They scored 30 points. It felt like they could have scored more. We gave credit to the Patriots early, forcing field goals, right, and limiting them. They weren't. But that's also the real difference in the game and the philosophy. Like, going into that one, Patriots decide to punt on their first possession, and the Niners are like, we'll take the field goals because we don't know how many points the Patriots are going to score. We might be good. We could win this game 9-0 potentially, right, like the way things are going. But then eventually the game opens up and they're able to sling the ball around and come up with some big plays.
So there's a lot that we touched on in that first hour. Of course, Drake May, who, by the way, if you're just tuning in, they're not going to go to. Doesn't sound like. Gerard Mayo said it here on WEEI with the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone, free. Easy. You can also go seek that out on YouTube as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. A lot of ways you can watch the shows, watch the interviews, and view live. So they're going to stick with Jacoby Brissett 100%. Jacoby is our starter, is what he said earlier today, which was frustrating. And we'll spend a lot of time on that. The Patriots not being aggressive early in the game, going for it on fourth down. Then when they did a few drives later, they got stuffed on an unimaginative and stupid play call, as Greg Olson highlighted and Keith was talking about. Injuries are piling up. Brissett throws a pick 6. You have Ramondre fumbling for the 4th time in 4 games, which I saw this criticism on Twitter yesterday, and I hate to say it, but the Twitter eggs out there might have a point, Keith. If Bill is here, and I screamed about this at the time, they sat down Pop Douglas after 1 fumble.
Yeah.
They sat down Ramondre as a rookie to teach ball security. I thought it was so dumb.
Stephen Ridley used to get pinned to the bench. Remember Ridley?
Yeah, no, I remember.
He had some good seasons, but, like, if he fumbles, like, see you later.
I mean, should we give Bill some credit for ball security on this, for sitting those guys down? Because Bill would not let Ramondre Stevenson fumble 4 weeks in a row. He would not allow that to happen.
He wouldn't, although I feel like this team has such little talent that, what are you going to give JaMychal Hasty a bunch of carries? Like, I feel
they did,
like,
for a drive yesterday. That was the punishment. Was 1 drive of JaMychal Hasty. And they're like, all right, get back out.
And then,
like,
Gibson. Like, I know Gibson was out there. No, this one I go back and forth with. I think Bill could do it more because it wasn't Brady who was fumbling and benching. It was a bunch of kind of, you know, replacement running backs.
Mm-hmm.
So even though some would have good games, some wouldn't, he would sit them down, and Tom Brady would still lead the offense to 1,000,000 points and to a win. Right now, the Patriots offense, Ramondre is the only, like, real, like, game breaker, game changer they have.
Yeah.
You go back to week 1, 100 plus yards after contact. So he's the only one that seems like can make up for this bad offensive line. So I know you can't just trot him out there and give him the same number of carries, but I also don't know what they're supposed to do. They don't have any talent.
I hated it when he did it with Pop Douglas. I hated it when he did it with Stevenson as a rookie. Ridley, I used to rail about that too.
He didn't do it with Blunt, which was weird.
That's true.
Remember? It was like Blunt fumbled and he's back out there.
He loved LeGarrette Blunt. He loved LeGarrette Blunt. He hates Boise State.
Yeah,
he loved LeGarrette Blunt.
Yeah.
So, no, to me, I didn't like that in real time, but you know, and we can give Bill this. I don't give Bill much. There's zero chance Bill would let anyone on his roster fumble 4 weeks in a row and just keep handing them the ball. Bill wouldn't do that.
Oh, if he even played yesterday, he would have been done. The fourth fumble,
he never would have got back in after that 4th fumble.
Yeah.
That led to the Niners' first touchdown. Right? Or did it lead to a field goal? It led to a
field goal. I feel like he also treated fumble losses more different than fumbles. Like, if they recovered it, right? Like, I don't think it was as demonstrative like that player was out, but regardless. So it was, he was letting you know, Ramondre was, that it was coming. Fumbles week one, they get it back. Fumbles week two, they get it back. And then these straight. So we also might have to change our, or I might have to change my tune. I'm like, Ramondre is their best offensive player. Well, not if you keep putting the ball on the ground. Gibson, like, maybe you're not.
Gibson's been good when he's gotten in there, too. Which, by the way, you want to talk about guys who have a history of fumbling.
Yeah.
That guy fumbled a lot when he was in Washington.
Ramondre needs to go to the Amon Green school of, or Tiki Barber. Remember Tiki Barber used to fumble all the time? And then he, like,
walk around with it?
Yeah, well, he started putting the ball, like, up on his shoulder. Yeah, he carried it really weird, but he stopped fumbling. Yeah. So
worked.
Try it.
617-779-7937. Keith, how much of a concern is the defense on this team, which was, I thought, abysmal yesterday and terrible the week before against the Jets and really not great against Seattle? Now it's 3 weeks running. I thought the defense was great week one against Cincinnati. 3 weeks running, the defense has been poor. How concerning is that? And what does it say about Jerod Mayo, the defensive guy, the former defensive coordinator, never called plays on defense, but what does it say about him? Like, the one thing we can really evaluate him on, I have no idea if he's picking the quarterback. Doesn't sound that way. I have no idea if he's in charge of putting the quarterback in. He claims he is, but I don't believe it. I don't think he has much input on offense. We should be able to hold him accountable for the defense, and the defense has stunk.
The defense has been bad. I mean, no Barmore, no Judon off the rip. That's not ideal. Of course, they played a lot of games without Judon last year. Losing Bentley for the last two games, that's at least a sure tackler that you have. So none of that is ideal. But I mean, it'd be way more concerning if the offense was semi-functional, right? Because you're like, oh, man, they're just missing this defense. Like, this is just going to make it worse. Like, this is just going to make a three-win team even worse in even less competitive games, because the defense, we knew, was going to have to bail out the offense most weeks. Like, that's probably how it was going to have to go. The defense was better week one than the offense was, and that was the formula to a win. So it is frustrating because you did think with, you know, Mayo and even Covington, like, just sort of staying in-house, that you could rely on the defense. Like, it would be sort of a constant. And it's not. Like, I don't think quarterbacks look at playing against the Patriots like, oh, man, it's going to be a long day for me. Like, no, probably pretty good. You'll probably be upright. You'll probably throw it for 300 yards, and you'll probably be just fine.
It's concerning. And I would say the team coming out pretty flat yet again and non-competitive yet again is another poor reflection on Mayo. Who I think the tide is turning on a little bit. I even sense it a little bit on the Greg Hill show. They're getting a little annoyed at no information out of Mayo. He's nice.
Yeah.
They called him a nicer Bill Belichick earlier today.
Yeah, but he also himself sounds more miserable.
They flew back from the West Coast, so, like, I'm sure the whole team's exhausted.
True. I mean, they're 1-3. They've lost three straight games.
But he sounds like a different person. He sounds like a different person than he did from the preseason even after they won week one.
Yep.
And I get it. They lost. You're right, Keith. They flew cross country. Like, he probably should sound that way, but
of course
he does. He just sounds like a different person. So is the tide turning on Mayo a little bit? And the defense, which we thought would be a strength, is not. 617-779-7937. Mark's in Beverly. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Hey, George, you're going to absolutely love this take because you're probably the most cynical guy on the radio. But I don't know why they just didn't go out and get Joe Flacco. If they were so concerned about getting Ben out and making all these special meetings.
So, Mark, your phone's breaking up a little bit, but I agree with the point. And I was a Flacco guy in the offseason. Flacco was incredible last year in Cleveland. So I don't think you're going to win a ton of games with Flacco, but you'll be a functional offense and you'll be able to throw it. He'll probably have some bad picks and he can't move and he's a statue and whatever. Flacco yesterday, and I don't think he put up big numbers, but the offense looked better with him than it did with Anthony Richardson, and I'm a Richardson guy. He got the Browns to the playoffs last year. I wanted them to bring in Flacco this offseason. That was one of the guys I wanted, and he was an option, and they chose Jacoby Brissett. And I think Flacco was cheaper, by the way. I think he was $5 million.
I was just looking this up.
Million.
He was definitely cheaper. It's 4.5 guaranteed.
There you go.
He could make up to around 8, which is what Brissett could make, but he has 6.5 guaranteed. So more guaranteed money.
But call the money a wash. It ends up being $8 million. Call the money a wash, even though we know Flacco's a little cheaper guarantee-wise. Call the money a wash. You could have had Flacco instead of Brissett. You made the wrong call.
Also, I think Flacco would have chosen the Patriots, in my opinion, because if you told him the plan was to sit Drake May all year, he would jump at the chance. He knowingly signed with the Colts as the backup.
Right.
And it was a smart move because Anthony Richardson gets hurt all the time. But in the slim chance that Richardson is healthy, then Flacco doesn't even play. And so he stays, out of retirement, if you will, and in the league just to back up Richardson. He could have been the starter here for a while. Plus, there's the familiarity with Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not this big, like, leap Yeah, they absolutely should have gone after him. There's a bunch of guys that should have gone after over Brissett.
So there's a ton. Fields was really good yesterday. Somebody's texting that Fields stunk yesterday. He threw for 300 yards and ran for two touchdowns and threw another touchdown.
No, Fields was awesome. I mean, they lost.
They lost, but like they're 3-1. So if you're going to hold the loss against them, they are 3-1.
And they scored points. They scored three touchdowns. Imagine scoring three touchdowns.
This is what
game,
I was
going to
say
offense?
About Flacco. Would you be 1-3 if Flacco was your starter? Maybe.
Maybe.
You might be 1-3. You would know more about your offense and your team. You would know more about Jalen Polk if Flacco were playing.
Yeah.
You would know more about Pop Douglas, and, you know, your offense would just be better off.
I mean, they might beat Seattle. They might be 2-2.
You'd be more watchable.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you're definitely a more entertaining team. And your point is, if the plan is to develop Drake May by pinning him on the bench, okay, that's what they've decided. But Jalen Polk, you are playing. Pop Douglas, you are playing. Kayshon Boutte, you are playing. How do we know when those guys run open and they don't get the ball?
And all the guys on defense, you know, you have to wonder if part of the issues on defense are they're just like, what's the point?
Yes.
We're going to go 3-0.
You got to have some professional pride. I mean, you got to do your best no matter what.
You do, but they're also human beings at the end of the day, and they go, well, what's really the point?
Well, then the game starts to get tilted, and you're like, we're not coming back.
Right.
We're not coming back from this.
So, like, I'm not telling you Flacco's the perfect pick.
We're not coming back from 6-0.
But Flacco or Fields or Gardner Minshew's 2-2 and almost got benched and, like, statistically is not great, all of those guys would have been better than Brissett. All of them. And I don't think that's a second guess. I think we all felt that way in real time. Al's in Lowell. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, guys, first-time caller, great show.
Thank Welcome. You.
As far as starting Drake May goes, we're afraid of ruining this kid like we did Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones was ruined on purpose the way I look at it. I think if we had this kid starting and learning as we go now.
His phone also broke, and he hung up, or his phone was breaking up. Right?
Mac Jones is a weird case because he was better as a rookie.
They broke him intentionally?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get that.
It was nefarious. I'm not sure what they mean by that. I mean, the Matt Patricia hire was part of what broke him, but Mac Jones also just not a good player. Like, he's not a stud NFL player.
Well, so this is – if you go back and look at his rookie year, and some of us said this in real time, he was – terrible after that Buffalo game where they threw three times in the wind, and that's not his fault. They didn't
kind of pad stats in a couple games, but like whatever.
He had one good game against Jacksonville down the stretch. I thought he was bad in the playoff game against Buffalo. Not everyone agrees with that. He was terrible in the game. Was it on Thanksgiving against Indy? It was right around Thanksgiving. So like he had some terrible games down the stretch, and so I think the league might have caught on to him anyway. But he's a weird example because he was good as a rookie that got worse.
Yeah,
I'm obviously okay with playing Drake May. I'm shocked. I should update this show poll from the Greg Hill show that we've stolen here today, but
this
it's good
ludicrous.
Good research. Last check, it was 50-50, a dead heat, 50-50. It is 50.1 to 49.9. Is it time for the Patriots to start Drake May? A slight majority, 50.1, say no. Almost 1,200 votes, which is mind-boggling.
So the people saying no, I think it actually is a mix. One, maybe fat thumbs on their phone, right? Like that's always, you got to kind of factor that in.
Yep, fudge factor.
There's the afraid to break Drake, right? But there's also... there are people that are like, just get the best draft pick possible. The team sucks no matter what.
Yeah.
There is that. And you're worse with Brissett. So, you know, we have people texting in about like tanking. And like, I don't think they're tanking this early. I think they're just bad. But you keep playing it out. You're 1-3. You're 1-4. You're 1-5. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you could draft Travis Hunter or you could trade down and get a bunch of picks or whatever else it might be. I think some of the don't play Drake May is also draft related. I do.